You. Tonight we will look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. This is the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24. Before we hear God's word, let's go to Him once again in prayer. Please pray with me. Father, we thank You that we are dressed in Christ's righteousness alone. And because of His righteousness, we will, in fact, be found faultless to stand before Your throne on the day of judgment. Father, we thank You that Christ is our solid rock, that we have built our houses on Him. We pray, Father, that You would help us to hear these words from Jesus as we finish out this wonderful sermon. Father, draw us closer to Him, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Beloved, this is God's holy word. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is God's holy word. Jesus finishes His sermon here with a strong emphasis on what followers are to do, what His disciples are to do. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them. So even though He began the sermon with good news, remember way back in chapter 5, He began with the Beatitudes. Blessed are, that is, blessed presently, are those who are presently poor in spirit, mournful, meek, those who are presently hungering and thirsting for righteousness, those of you who are merciful, pure. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. This is a reality for you today, presently. The moment you believe, that is the reality for you, that you are blessed in Christ with all of these blessings. And so this blessedness that He began with is a present reality. But nevertheless, He ends His sermon by emphasizing in the strongest terms the solemn responsibility that the gospel lays upon all who believe it. So you are in fact blessed by Christ, but being blessed by Christ through faith in Him comes along with obligations. You don't simply get to bask in the glory of your blessedness and live however you want. And that's what we'll see tonight. He does this, he lays these obligations, or He emphasizes the obligations here, by leaving His hearers with a parable to think about. This needs to be made clear, first of all, that this parable represents or symbolizes the final judgment. This parable about these two home builders, these two houses, it represents, it symbolizes the final judgment. The destruction of the one house built on sand symbolizes the eternal destruction of body and soul for the unbeliever. It has the same force as Jesus' final verdict spoken against false prophets, false leaders in the church who were not true believers. And what was that final verdict? He says, depart from me. That is, depart from me forever. Depart from loving fellowship from me forever in hell. And so we have to get this straight here. This is a serious, serious and solemn message that Jesus ends His sermon with. And the parable symbolizes the final judgment. And so again, these two houses, they represent people's lives. That is what they depict or symbolize. Which one of these two people or groups of people will withstand the eternal wrath of Jesus Christ and His Father on the last day? Which one will stand? That is what this parable is depicting. This parable answers that question. The other thing we should recognize is that Jesus delivers this message as an invitation to everyone. Everyone who hears. Whoever hears. Everyone who hears. So there is a great responsibility to those who have the privilege of hearing the gospel. Everyone who hears. If someone hears the message once in their entire life, they have this obligation laid upon them. And certainly all men have the obligation to worship God. But everyone who hears these words. So the person who shows up at Christmas every year or once every 3 years, the same message is for them and then as for us as well. And so there's a great privilege for hearing the gospel, but hearing the gospel also comes with a great responsibility. Just because you listen and hear, obviously, from Jesus' words here, doesn't automatically mean that you are a part of the kingdom of heaven or that you will enter the kingdom of heaven. Attendance at church services is not salvation, necessarily. Jesus makes this clear. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. And so Jesus is talking to people who all hear the words of Jesus. Both people in the parable hear the words of Jesus. The difference is the response, what they do once they hear. Doing or not doing. That's what separates the two groups. And so if you are here this evening contemplating what kind of life you want to build for yourself, Jesus invites you. He invites everyone who hears. He invites you to build your life on this, obeying Him. That is the life that you are to live. What kind of life do you want to live? What kind of life do you want to leave behind? Jesus invites you tonight. Build your house on this, obeying His commandments. This is the only way that you will be able to withstand the wrath of God on the last day. Everyone who hears these words and does them. And the only way to do Christ's words is to do them by faith. And so it's an invitation, really, to believe in Christ, to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ and follow Him. That's the invitation. Everyone, you hear these words? Come, believe in Christ. Build your house on the rock. That's the invitation to you tonight. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, by repenting of your sins, trusting in Him, that is how you build your life on the rock. Now, this is certainly, we saw at the beginning, you see throughout the Scriptures, that salvation is a free gift. It is a free gift that you lay hold of by faith. But it's a gift that comes along, or that is evidenced by, a life of repentance. It is evidence, if you have truly taken hold of that gift, then that will be made clear by living a life of repentance, walking by faith. Now, Jesus here compares the first man who responds to the gospel in this way, with obedience, to a builder of a house. In Jesus' day, home builders could not build on sand. It was impossible to build. It was imperative, to build on a foundation of rock. The winter storms of Palestine would come and they would bring much rain and they would fill the rivers and fill the waterways up to flooding. And those flood waters, as Jesus refers to here, would easily bring down homes that were built on sand. They could not stand against the flood waters that beat against them. No matter how big and beautiful the home was, if the foundation was not on the rock, then the home would be completely destroyed. The greater the house, Jesus says, the greater the fall. No matter how big and beautiful it was for a time, once the floodwaters came, once the winds came, it would go down. Great was the fall of it. The first builder is wise, though. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And we see in these parables that Jesus has a view towards the future. He will be like the wise man. Whoever hears these words today, tonight, for you and I, and does them, will be like in the future. A wise man built his house, and in the future, when the storms came, the house withstood the storms. When the storms of judgment came on the last day, he will be standing. That is what the parable means. If you believe in Christ, follow him, you will be standing on the last day. Why? Because of your foundation. Because you built your life on Christ. In this parable, the foundation is a life of obedience. That's the foundation. The foundation is a life of obedience. And ultimately, that's a life built on Christ, evidenced by obedience. That is what Jesus is calling you to. Those who believe in Christ, true followers of Christ, leave behind them at death a legacy of lifelong faithfulness. You will know a good tree by its fruit. Remember the last lesson that we heard from Jesus. Those are true followers of Christ. They leave behind them a legacy of faithfulness, of building their house on the rock. They are the ones who chose the narrow path of suffering in Christ. And the end of that road is eternal life. You will stand. You will enjoy eternal life forever and ever. Now, this is what Jesus means when he says, the house did not fall. Your house will not fall. This image of a house standing, even as the storms came, is an image of resurrection life. You will stand. If you believe in Christ, if you've made your foundation following him, you will stand. On the last day, you will live forever. It's a picture of resurrection life. But resurrection life, friends, begins now, tonight. It begins the moment you believe in Christ. That is when the process starts. That is when this life of obedience begins. It is a lifelong. The moment one hears the words of Christ, the preaching of the word, whoever hears these words of mine and does them. That is when that life begins. The wise man who responds to Jesus' words with faithfulness, lifelong faithfulness, is the one who builds his house on the rock. Now, that life is not perfect. That is not what Jesus is calling people to here in any way. This person does not live a perfect life free from mistakes. That's impossible. But when he does fail, which we all do and we have done. We have all failed and we will continue to fail. That person who has built his life on the rock, who has committed himself to following Christ all of his days, when you do fall, when you fail, you get back up. You look forward once again. You look to Christ. You throw yourself at the mercy of him and you move forward. You move on. Why do you do this? Because your foundation is on obedience. That's what you're building your life on. It's not building your life on perfection. That's impossible. You're building your life on commitment. Commitment to Christ. And so if you fall, if one of your wooden beams begins to break, you fix it. You put it back up and you keep building. That's the life. That's the Christian life. Far from perfect. Far from perfect. But committed to Jesus and his words. This person who has built his life on the rock, he learns from his mistakes. He repents. He moves forward by faith, like Moses, like David, like Peter, like anyone else who has committed themselves to Jesus Christ. And so our lives, the lives that are built on the rock, far from perfect, but they're nevertheless committed to doing Christ's words. Now, we need to remember here that the wise man doesn't achieve worldly success either, necessarily. It's not a life of perfection, nor is it a life of worldly success, though you may have that in this life. His motivation is not storing up treasures on this earth, which is what unbelievers are after, the foolish builders. They may be successful at doing this. They may be successful at storing up, amassing all kinds of wealth in this world. But our motivation is different. Our motivation for building is different. Our motivation is holiness. That is what we're after. Holiness. The Lord may give you success in whatever endeavor you put yourself to. He may give that to you. for His glory. But ultimately, that's not what it's about. It's about holiness. The house, the lives that we build, is about holiness. That's our motivation. Hearing Christ's words and doing them. Whoever hears these words and does them. That's what we should be after. That we would do His words. The Bible teaches us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's the wise man. That's the wise life. You want to live a wise life? This is it. Commitment to Christ and His commandments. That is wisdom. It's not necessarily investing in the right stocks or working extremely hard day and night to make a name for yourself in whatever environment you're in, whatever job that you find yourself in, or making a name for yourself in the world. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's obedience. That is where it is found. The foolish man is the one who shuts his ears to Christ's word. He hears them. He hears His words for sure. He attends worship services. He hears the word. Maybe he goes on. Maybe attends worship services on Christmas or Easter. He knows what the Bible says, like we mentioned before. But he leaves the service unmotivated. He leaves the service unmoved to do what Christ commands. Think about all the people that heard Jesus' words here, but left unmoved, unmotivated. In fact, some of them left completely. They didn't want to hear His words anymore because they were too hard to hear. These are the foolish people. This foolish person builds his life on something else. Remember, these are people's lives that we are talking about here when we're talking about these houses. What do we build our lives around? What kind of life do you want to build? The foolish person builds his life on something else. He thinks listening to Jesus is foolish, so he determines that wisdom is found elsewhere. Maybe it's a pursuit of wealth. Maybe it's a pursuit of comfort or pleasure. This is what Judas Iscariot built his life on, pleasures of money. He sold Jesus out for money. And what happened to Judas Iscariot? He thought it would be wiser to serve himself. He thought it would be wiser to team up with the Pharisees and help put Jesus to death for a little bit of money. That was wisdom. Well, what happened to him? Well, the rains fell, the floods came, the wind beat against the house, and he fell hard. Great was the fall of it. Remember his demise. Judas Iscariot will be condemned, body and soul, forever on the last day. His death was a preliminary punishment, but it gives us a picture of the kind of life that you build if you build it apart from doing Jesus' words. We should appreciate that these foolish people, they may very well be successful in this world, very successful, but no matter how much worldly success they may have, no matter how righteous they may appear to be on the outside, if their foundation for life was not trusting in Christ and obeying His commandments, that person will be sentenced to hell for eternity, separation from God's loving fellowship forever. Now, this might be hard for us to really appreciate. Jesus, again, is looking into the future. And He's the Son of God, so He knows what is going to take place. It's hard for us to look that far, right? We see the kind of success that people have in this world, and it's immediate. We can look at it and measure it, right? And then we can decide which one of those lives maybe we want to build our house around. Well, I want my life to be like his or hers, because it's obvious they've been very successful in this world. I want to replicate what they've done. But we don't always see behind the scenes. We don't see the brokenness in their lives. And we can't see into the future. Jesus does. Their house will fall. We don't know all the houses, but many of those people who build their houses on foundations of amassing wealth, amassing worldly success, they will fall. They will fall hard. Is that the kind of life you want to build? Do you want to replicate them, the celebrities and the sports stars and the musicians? Think about, the majority of those people have built their lives on sand, and they will fall. That is not who we are to imitate. That is not who we are to listen to. We listen to Christ's words. We built our house on the rock. Think about the foolish man Jesus talked about in another parable who amassed wealth and he saw how much wealth he had and he wanted to save it and he kept building larger barns to store up his wealth. And what did God say to him? He said, "You fool. Tonight your soul is required of you. You're a fool. All that success and you are a fool." And so we need to appreciate this. It's hard for us, I think, to really appreciate Jesus' words here because we have pasted before us all the time the success of all of these people that we admire. And certainly they put a lot of hard work into these things, but have they built their lives on the rock? Many of them have not, and they will fall very hard. And so it's foolish to think that you can put your worldly success between yourself and God's wrath. That is something that we need to appreciate. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds beat against the house. Same as the other builder. The other builder, the house experienced the same event, but this house fell, and great was the fall of it. And so we need to build our house on the rock. Friends, every house, every life will experience this coming storm. We will experience the last day, the day of the Lord. The difference is which houses will stand. The day of the Lord is coming, friends. And there is only one person, who is able to absorb the wrath of God and live. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can swallow up the wrath of God and come back on the other side alive. The storm of God's wrath fell upon Jesus at the cross. His body fell. He was buried, but he was raised on the third day. Why? Because he had built his house on the rock. Perfect obedience. Sinless obedience. It was not possible for him to stay dead. He is the Son of God. And friends, because we believe in this Christ, we can look forward to the last day. We will be there. We will be there when the whole world is judged. We will all experience that event. The storms are coming. We will see the rain. We will feel it against our bodies, symbolically speaking, of course. But we will be there. The storm is coming. But we will stand because He stands. Because Jesus stands. That is why we will stand. Our lives are hidden with God in Christ. And because we are in Him, we will stand. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, we do them because we are in Christ. We will stand forever and ever. But this is an invitation to everyone to build your life on this. To build your life on Christ and following Him. Everyone who hears these words of mine. The defining characteristic that our houses are different from the others that fall is that in Christ, by faith in Him, our whole lives, we obeyed Him. Not perfectly, but sincerely. We persevered. That's the difference. Persevering faith. Not perfect, but sincere, pure, stands the test of time. Endures suffering, perseveres through trials. That is who will stand. That's what it means to build a life on faithful obedience by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Christ is calling us to tonight. Now, friends, assurance of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the demand of Christ to obey His word, to live out a Christian life, to bear fruit, assurance of salvation that you will stand on the last day, and you will. You will. you will stand because you've built your life on the rock. Assurance that that is true for you, that your sins have been forgiven. Assurance of salvation and the demand to live a holy life, to respond to Jesus' words with obedience. Those things aren't mutually exclusive. They're two parts of one life. That is why Jesus ends this way. Blessed are you now. Build your life on the rock. They go together. It is one life of faith that has assurance that Christ has saved you, that He will never leave you nor forsake you, but also understands that each day that you wake up as a Christian, there are obligations placed upon you. You represent your King. You have the name of Christ on your forehead. And so your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Him. There are obligations for you, responsibilities. This is what we are called to, friends, in this sermon. This one life, it flows from the one Christ who gives us this life. And we lay hold of this by faith. And therefore, Christian, tonight, be like the wise man. Build your life on this, hearing Jesus and doing His words. And so Jesus ends His wonderful sermon with perhaps the greatest practical application that has ever been spoken. Build your life on the rock. If there was a better practical application to give in a sermon, then He said it. But this is probably the best one that's ever been spoken. And so if you are hearing Jesus' words tonight, don't just hear them, do them. Be like the wise builder. To Christ be all praise and glory now and forevermore.